Hey, what's up? I'm Dieter. That's Hutch. And this is Dieter and Hutch, and we're forcing this, if we're being honest about this. Hutch is at home. He just got back from, I guess, doing shrooms in the mountains.
That's right. Just hiking. Went on a lovely hike, top of into the Sierras. Rained, started raining as we were coming down. Kind of felt great. It's like one of those things where it's 100 degrees and then you drive up into the mountains and it's worth it.
I did the same thing. I was hiking Mount Hood the other day. We're just a bunch of hiking boys, bunch of crusty Bay Area liberals coming out here, and now I'm at the undisclosed beach house, not shaving on purpose, letting it fly. And I guess there's things that we need to talk about because football is imminent. It's imminent, not for me, and maybe not for Brandon Ayuk, but it is imminent. And
It is imminent.
Jake, let's start with our favorite unsigned boy. Brandon Ayuk, nothing has happened.
Nope.
I know that people are saying, "Oh, well, he demanded a trade," and I know that my editors at the Mercury News are like, "You need to write a column on this." And I'm like, "He just got around to asking for a trade, buddy. A little late. That's like step two. You can't be busting that out a couple days before training camp. Trust me, we all know you want to trade. You're out here flirting with other quarter. You got paramours, quarterback paramours out here. You're going on Football Oprah saying I don't want to play." It's like, dude. It's all been terribly embarrassing, and the funnest part about it all is it means nothing. It means absolutely nothing, Jake.
That's right. That's right. Where do you think this is headed? Because, well, first of all, do you expect him to be at training camp? I don't think he'll be there. Doesn't
Not to
I
start.
don't really. Yeah.
He'll take some fines, right? Like he'll eat it. And I think that what was the deadline we
Yeah.
set? Like first preseason game is when we get down to brass tacks.
First preseason game costs him about a mil. Well,
Yeah, and he's
more like 557, though,
right,
something like that.
but then you combine, money that we don't have, and I'm not
Right.
even sure he has, if we're being honest. I think that he's a fairly fiscally prudent guy, or prudency. I don't know what I was trying to say there. I started drinking at 10 a.m. And it's it. Listen, having to pay a fine of six figures is not anything that anyone should scoff at. I don't care how rich you are. And when you're talking about, Brandon Ayuk, who's set to make 14 million this year, what did he make last year? Like 7, 8 million, something like that. Like,
I think less. I think
I don't
it's
know
his
how
rookie
liquid
deal,
this guy
so.
is. That's all I'm saying. I don't know how liquid this guy is. And he'll be testing that liquidity pretty quickly. I know it's all technically a tax write-off, but, I wouldn't be too keen on having to write a check because, by the way, talking to some folks the last couple of days, like the 49ers really cannot forgive that unless he signs a new contract. Like
Oh,
there's no
yeah.
for I mean they can, but like they won't, and it's kind of tricky. Like I know that it's you're allowed to do it, which is why like hold-ins are a thing and all this. I think he shows up at some point. I think he immediately goes out there, pulls a hammy. Just goes he's I think he and Cam Latu are in deep consideration right now on like, Cam, how'd you get out of ever having to play football? And it's like, oh, well, I was terrible, so they told me to stop playing. And Brandon Ayuk's like, that's not gonna work for me. So how do I get injured? How do I tweak an ankle? How do I have a knee swell up on me? Because I think a hold-in makes a lot of sense for him on the
Yeah.
basis of they can't find him. But also it, extends the negotiation window and legitimately like gives him probably the strongest bit of leverage he has in these negotiations, right?
I was gonna say, I honestly think a hold-in is more uncomfortable, puts a little bit more like, especially like, I don't know. Pearsall, I think, given what we saw at OTAs, like we're optimistic on him. But if he like struggles at all and Ayuk's just there sort of grinning on a side field.
Motherfuckers on the NFI. He's not even
Yeah.
playing. That's the thing.
Right.
Like that you think
Yeah,
to the,
we'll see.
we
We'll
talked
see
about
what
all
that
the time
is.
in minicamp, right? Like, hey, if Pearsall's out there and kicking ass, the 49ers are going to be like, now nah, we're good. Like, we're not going to give Brandon Ayuk
Right.
$27 million a year. But if Pearsall's not out there, then it's Jacob Cowings. And I go on Larry Kruger's streams every week, and he seems to think that Jacob Cowing is the truth. And I think that, I love Larry. This is not a shade at Larry, but Larry's riding the heater from calling Brock Purdy. And I'm really feeling like he's overdoing it a bit sometimes with like the Jacob Cowings. Like we all like Jacob Cowing. I don't think anyone is
Right.
out here saying that Jacob Cowing is the Debo Samuel replacement, the Brandon Ayuk replacement. Like he's a nice depth receiver who has some upside.
Yeah, he's a quick, undersized receiver who can – we'll see if he has the burner speed. Like, it seems like he may have that. We'll see depending on, you know, can he take the top off of defense. But he really runs, like, three routes and, you know, is more of, like, a really, like, oh, this is, like, maybe a big play threat, a guy that you can work in. Yeah. Not a guy you want to be like, okay, this is our number two. At least
the upside of him is Tank Dell, right? Like, that's the upside. And it's cool that Tank Dell did that year one, but, like, it's not as if every year you just get a Tank Dell. Like, it's just not a thing. So you're looking for that maybe in a year or two. But the Niners cannot reasonably go into the season without Brandon Ayuk and think that their Super Bowl chances are the same as they were. And without Pearsall being out there playing, it gets a little tricky. It gets a little tricky.
Yeah.
Because that was a point of leverage for the 49ers. And ultimately, I'm kind of sick of talking about leverage. It's on Brandon Ayuk to just say, hey, man, you know, that offer that I'm holding strong to, like, I'll bring it down a little bit. And the Niners will be like, oh, you know what? We were acting ridiculous too. We'll come up a little bit. And then they actually start talking. Right. But right now they're not even, like, talking. They're not even doing business. And they're just doing stupid PR stuff. And
the Niners and the Niners are always content to just say, all right, if you want to make this – right. If you want to make this weird, like, hey, we want to pay you a lot of money, just not that much money. And if you're going to be annoying about it, believe us, we can be much more annoying.
Just because we're bereaved doesn't make us saps, you know?
Right.
Walter from the Big Lebowski.
Like, I still think it will end up getting done. I'm interested to see, more than anything, I'm interested to see how Ayuk handles it and whether he stays away and just goes, oh God, I've made a huge mistake. I'm eating money left and right.
Totally. Or money he doesn't have yet.
Or if he just holds in and makes it uncomfortable while being in the building, and then eventually a deal gets done in a couple weeks, and it's,
What's the drop-dead date for the 49ers? Like, at what point are they, like, they say, you know, no, we're not even, we're just not even dicking around with this anymore. Show up or get fined to bejesus. Like, second preseason game, third after the third? Because there's, like, 2.5 weeks after the third preseason game. I think it's against the Raiders on a Friday. It's like 2.5 weeks there, but it's not a lot of practice time. Like, that's the killer, right? You're trying to repeat as NFC champions. You're trying to go to this flipping Super Bowl and this time win it. And, you know, say what you will about the chemistry and stuff that we saw last year with Brandon Ayuk and Brock Purdy. Like, this is Brock Purdy's first training camp as a starter. This is his first training camp where he's getting all the reps.
And he's not rehabbing.
He's not rehabbing like he was last year where he showed up and then he's like, well, you know, throwing a football more than 20 yards can make my elbow explode, so maybe we don't do that. And then, you know, the one before, he was the fourth string quarterback. So it's like, dude, this is the first chance that Kyle Shanahan has the opportunity to, like, really install some new interesting stuff. I don't think he got that opportunity last year. I think that was evident in how they handled their offense last year, which was still exceptional. Certainly didn't have that in Purdy's rookie year because they were starting Trey Lance as their quarterback. A little bit different from Brock Purdy when it was all said and done. There's a Jimmy Garoppolo there in the middle. That was a fun training camp. Good times. And I just think, like, you know, Shanahan's got to be a bit peeved about all of this. And I know that I'll tell you this. The Niners are playing this thing really cool. And credit to them. They're, like, not allowing this outside nonsense that has us in a tizzy, like, affect them at all, mainly because they're like, it's Brandon's move. He hasn't made a move yet. Like, like, it's pretty straightforward. But if I'm Kyle and now we're getting down to, hey, okay, training camp starting, or specifically, like, pads are on, I have 20 days, 20 practices roughly to fully install something new and interesting and maybe even transcendent. And my number one receiver, the guy I'm going to pay more than anybody else on my skill core isn't here to learn these plays. Like, that tee me off, man. That tee me off.
I think so. You know, looking at, we've got this first week, second week, third week, at the end of the
this
third
is how
week
weeks
is the
go. Yeah.
Preseason game. I don't know if you folks are familiar with the concepts of weeks, but it's 7 days and then
52 in a year, right?
52 in a year. You're on this, man. You're locked in. You're locked in.
Ready for the season. I hear there's 18 of them.
So in basically a little less than 3 weeks, first preseason game. After that, I think Kyle is not even I think Kyle has explicitly said joint practices are more important to him than pretty much anything else
than the preseason games. Yeah,
I think you've got on the 15th and 16th is when you got the joint practices in Southern California with the Saints, which is hilarious because then you fly back up and they have the game at Levi's.
Yeah,
but I think
the classic tech commuter move right there.
Right. I think an ideal would be like, hey, let's get him for one of those practices. Now, does that happen?
What's the ramp up? Like, hey, you know, go out there and play the Saints. I mean, I'd like to think that there's a little bit that goes into it, but you're right. You want him there. You want him there. You want him there from day one.
But in order for that to even happen, he'd probably have to be there the week leading up to that first preseason game. You got three practices, then two more, then you go down. So I kind of don't think he'll be available. I kind of think this is going to go until after that.
You think he's going to? Oh, really? Okay. I think it will be. I think that push will come to shove, and that day before they go to Tennessee, because the first preseason game is Tennessee, off the top of my head.
Right.
Look at me, on top of this. Yeah. Yeah. Which I cannot wait to stay as far away from as possible. But I don't know any of these bands anymore, Jake. I don't know any of them.
Yeah.
Though I, me being the hipster douchebag I am, I do have Tidal, and I just put on. I just wanted to listen to an Arctic Monkeys song the other day, and I've just been riding the suggestions since then. I've been on like 4.5 days and countless hours driving on just rocking like mid to late aughts indie rock. I mean, it's just 10 out of 10, Jake. You wouldn't even know. Putting on the tight jeans, getting the bangs going. It's great stuff.
Love that.
Everyone thought the OC was a great show.
Are you showing up to camp like that?
Like that, in my full emo phase, perhaps.
Yeah,
I'm gonna Jimmy Butler and his.
If you just let this grow out a little bit more, swipe it over the one eye,
buddy. You don't even know. You don't even know the half of it. As an old man, let me tell you, there are some things in my past I regret, but it wasn't that. I think push comes to shove before that first preseason game, because I do think that at that point, right? What's the thing Bob Myers always said, and John Lynch has stolen a lot of, like. You know, deadlines create actions, more or less is the phrase. Yep. They each have their own sort of twist on it. And I think that, you know, that's when the big fines start to come in. That's when the 49ers are like, okay, let's do this. You're either going to sign a contract or you're just going to play on your fifth-year option. But, like, we're done with this whole you not being here thing. And for Brandon Ayuk, it's going to be, I guess, in that situation, as I just laid out, like the last chance for him to land that big cost certain contract. So I think that they'll both nut up to the table by that first preseason game. And I wouldn't be shocked if he was on the sidelines in Nashville just hanging out, talking to Vern on the preseason broadcast, get the stool out, have Vern interview him, first interview post new contract signing.
I can see it.
And,
I'm
so excited to aggregate it, Jake. I'm so excited.
It'll be awesome.
It's KPIX, not CBS.
I hope for Ayuk's sake, the discrepancy is over guaranteed money and not APY. Because if this is like want to be at this per year, the 49ers are offering a big amount of guaranteed money. That's very concerning. I would assume guarantees are a huge part of it. At the end of the day, like, you either have a big contract or you can spin the roulette wheel and probably get franchise tagged and have uncertainty. I think at the end of the day you go, okay, whatever, 27.5, 28. Oh no, how tragic.
It does feel as if he's, you know, cutting off his nose to spite his face a little bit, because the cost certainty of $28 million a year over, there's nothing with 30. The denominator on 30-31 million, right, which is what he wants, is zero, because you're not getting that contract. So why, I mean, if he had serious leverage, if he had the 49ers by the sack, he could do this, but he doesn't. He has no leverage. He has minute points of wiggle room that he has botched entirely. I would also like to note something. Brandon Ayuk's agent is John Lynch's agent. Did you know that?
I was well aware of that. Yep. They were
both of them need to fire their agent. That's my official stance on the matter. It's been really bad. It's been really embarrassing. We've been through this rigmarole all the time. This is like between me and the Warriors. I mean, the Giants don't sign anybody, so it's not terribly pressing. But between the Warriors situation, contract negotiations there, and everything that's gone on with that, certainly in the last couple of years since the Niners have been good and their contract extensions, like I used to do a bunch of contract stuff for college football coaches. Like, this is not our first rodeo with this. This is not something that's actually terribly complicated. Like, I love how it's always presented as this incredibly complicated thing. And it's like, yeah, there's a lot of legalese that goes into the final draft. Right. Most of that stuff's boilerplate and never even gets discussed. No one's coming in with, minute clauses. I think I had a more ironclad contract when I worked for Fox than a lot of these guys have in the NFL, like legitimately, because, I went through it line by line, argued single sentences because I'm that kind of granular dick. But it's... 99% of this stuff is boilerplate, and it's, by the way, like collectively bargained, right? The PA has a certain standard. The owners have basically created a PDF that they toss around on basic clauses and things. Like, none of this stuff is groundbreaking or new or interesting. Right. It's literally about just filling in guaranteed dollars. Jake, have you been watching the off-season Hard Knocks? Does HBO exist anymore? Or is it just called Max?
I have not. I've seen a couple Giants clips. I watched a little bit of the receivers thing with Debo and Kittle.
I haven't watched that part yet. I haven't watched that yet. I get to watch Trash Truck on Netflix, which is just a banger, just a 10 out of 10, worth every dollar of the subscription. Trash Truck, it's Giant Jack in the UK British, and since we have an Ireland Netflix, it's actually Giant Jack. That's a whole other thing. Shout out Giant Jack. Shout out Netflix. Regardless, I'm watching the last couple of nights when everyone's gone to bed. I've been watching this off-season Hard Knocks, and it's with the Giants, and it's Joe Shane and all that. Jake, I'm certain. And I knew this beforehand, and you knew this beforehand, just with the people that we talked to. I am certain now that we could run an NFL franchise.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, we would come in and do a better job. And that guy's very well paid. And by the way, like, respected around the league. It is just bros being bros, and there's a couple of smart people around him who actually do the data, and then, they just call it. It's been embarrassing. None of this stuff is that complicated. None of this stuff is that complicated. And I want everyone in the audience to know that from the bottom of my heart, it's not that complicated. If us idiots think that we can do it and like have tangible evidence that we can do this stuff at a decent level, it can't be that hard.
I'm also just a sicko for any type of franchise manager mode on I don't even need to play the game. I just want to see the organization grow year after year, scout talent.
Jake's just trying to somewhat break even over here.
Anyone over the age of 28 is dead to me. Yeah.
Well, this is why you signed Brandon Ayuk, right? Like, Brandon Ayuk's young and he's cheap for now. I don't know.
Right. He's 26.
Okay. I'm done with Brandon. I'm done. He can decide to come to work or not. It doesn't affect me one way or another. I think Brandon Ayuk's a wonderful player who should get paid market value. His market value is not what he thinks his value is. It's just slightly below that. And I think reasonable minds and reasonable people can get together. But so far, let's be real, Brandon Ayuk and his representative, who is also John Lynch's representative, haven't been reasonable. So they don't have to be reasonable yet. It's just kind of annoying in the interim. Regardless, there will be football, whether or not 11 shows up or not. And Jake, my question to you is very simple. What are you most excited to see at training camp?
My gut instinct is the Nuge, Drake Nugent.
Right. We are a Nuge first podcast.
So there's a couple ways to answer what am I most excited for. What am I most intrigued?
Okay, let me go down. Okay, excited is sort of broad, so let's be specific here. You nailed it. What are you most intrigued to see? What's the most interesting thing to you? What are the questions that you don't have answers to and need to ascertain them as soon as possible?
Couple things. My gut first thought, defensive tackle, interior of the defensive line. What the hell does that look like? Does Javon Hargrave have his legs under him? Does Malik Collins have his legs under him? Right. What is that? And is there anyone behind it where, like, is Evan Anderson going to be good enough plugging the run? Like, they don't – we've been worried about this
for a while. Is Jordan Elliott a person?
Listen, I'm going to go in with an open mind, despite the very wide-ranging criticisms of his
game. All the evidence says that your mind should be closed, that it should be tight, and that
right.
you shouldn't.
Yeah. So I don't know if they have a good situation at defensive tackle, and that's been a major problem for them. So I need to find out what that looks like. Safety. Because safety, I think, could simultaneously be a really strong group for them, or you could be a week in and go, oh, shit, we have, you know, Jair Brown and Talanoa Hufanga is not the same, and we love Malik Mustafa, but, like, he's not quite ready to play the center field role we want him to, and or he doesn't quite work with Jair Brown, and George Odom is a great special teamer, but he's not, like, I'm saying...
And they're going to be like, where's the nearest Disney cruise? We need a safety.
Right. It could be a very strong group, or it could be a nightmare. The thing I'm probably most excited for is watching corner and seeing...
They're loaded.
Because Charvarius Ward, D'Amador Lenore, Renardo Green, and Isaac Yiadom. I think Yiadom is probably going to win a starting job, and then Green will be... nipping at his and maybe even Lenore's heels. Like, Lenore had a great season, but, like, it's not like he's locked in. Like, he's a really good player.
I think that's more of a statement about Green than it is about Lenore. We're very high on Green, as well we should be. You nailed him from a mile away. Regardless, Lenore, I almost go the opposite direction, right? Because there's going to be an era of austerity for the 49ers coming up. The Brandon Ayuk thing, sort of regardless. They're going to lock in their receiver. They've locked in their defensive end. They're going to lock in their quarterback at an ungodly amount of money. And after that, you know, I guess Christian McCaffrey has a contract and everyone else fend for yourself. And one of the places that you would say, hey, okay, where are you deepest? Where can we afford to lose somebody? Is somehow we've reached a point, cornerback, nickelback, defensive back. Maybe not safety as part of the defensive back, but just that position is looking pretty damn good. And if I'm Lenore and I have another year like I just had, which is a big if, but I have another year like I just had, there are nickelbacks now getting 10, 12, maybe 15 by this time next year, $1 million a season. And if I'm the 49ers, it's like, we're a base 4-3 team. Like, as much as the nickel is vitally important, like the 49ers, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but they're still kind of holding out this notion that you can play three linebackers in the NFL, at least on first down. And I just think that he's almost in a position where he's going to price himself out, as opposed to Renardo Green's going to come in and steal his job.
I think,
and maybe
I think
those two things aren't mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
Maybe they aren't.
No, I think that's completely fair. I think it sets up a situation where if Yiadom plays well enough, like, he's going to be exponentially cheaper than Ward. You know,
Yadam's on a 1-year deal, though, right?
Right, where I'm saying, like, if it's between him and Ward and Yiadom plays well enough, like, you know, that could be the pairing next year. I think defense has a lot of question marks. It's got a lot of upside. Linebacker is interesting because I don't quite know what that's going to be.
What Devondre Campbell is.
Right, like, if he's the best version of Devondre Campbell, great. They have that question answered. Until Dre Greenlaw comes back.
Excellent linebacker 3 years ago.
Right. But if he's not healthy and he's had...
Jake, let me ask you this. Do you hold out... It sounds to me, just based off of what you said, that you hold out hope that Dre Greenlaw is going to be Dre Greenlaw again. I don't. I like Dre Greenlaw a lot. He's obviously a blast of a player to watch. He's an impact player, all these things. I am very strictly in the, I have to see it first before I ever pencil that in.
Oh, you know,
he comes back. Well, what's he going to be when he's back? I have no hope coming off an Achilles, a man whose entire game is predicated off of exploding through other dudes' bodies without elite level athleticism to start. We're kind of in the Klay Thompson range here. Remember the old Klay Thompson? Well, his game isn't predicated on athleticism, Dieter. Well, what happens when he gets zapped of the athleticism he did have, right? And if his game is all instinct and tenacity, and it's like, I really worry about what Dre Greenlaw looks like in a post Achilles world. And I hope I hope that all these fears are unfounded, but like until they're proven otherwise, well boy, I can't count on it.
No, I'm with you. I think there has been an element of when Dre comes back, which is that is sort of the party line by the 49ers, and I think
they love to say
sometimes it. When it's the off season, you just sort of repeat that, yeah, like when he comes back, but it's like, no, let's think critically, like it's an Achilles. And this is a guy who plays murder ball, needs to like fly at people. So you don't know. I really also
any hesitation hope. Is death. And what what's I worry, he got now? He has built-in hesitation.
I worry it's not going to look great next to Warner, and they're going to be like, "All right, come on, we need Dre back." And like that's something that takes time, and you really need to like give him that time.
Yeah.
Like, is Tatum Bethune going to be in a, you know, I don't know. Well, we'll see.
There's part of me that looks at the situation that they have, and they've almost had somewhat of an inverted linebacker core, right? So Dre Greenlaw's off ball, but Dre Greenlaw, you don't really want out in space. You want Fred Warner to be out in space. And you could get away with that a little bit, right? And certainly last year, Steve Wilks built an entire defense around Fred Warner's mobility in that he basically had him playing free safety. And Tampa, too. Still a thing. Who knew? Regardless, I wonder if they acknowledge, and I'd like to think, and it's not to say that this is the only way he can prove this, but I'd like to think that Brandon Staley is a new, fresh set of eyes who has to think of, like, isn't his job to think about sort of weird stuff like this, to think outside the box, come up with conceptual game plans that maybe can't be executed, but at least pushes the concept of defense forward. All this, he gets to be a think tank for defense and on the payroll. Doesn't have to worry about the minutiae of like coaching or talking to people. He just gets to be, here's what he is. You know, Ernie Adams from the Patriots. He was just sort of Bill Belichick's computer from the Bear, which by the way is a shitty character and they need to get rid of it. Ernie was computer from the Bear for Bill Belichick. That's what Brandon Staley is, but defensively, and for Kyle Shanahan. And I think that this is a great opportunity for him to flip the linebackers.
So are you suggesting that like they need Warner to play more traditional linebacker? Or
I think they need Warner to basically be the off-ball linebacker and let Devondre Campbell, who's lost all the juice and whatever he had, play interior, where he stands a chance, because what are his skill sets? He's a smart guy. He takes good lines to the ball. He just doesn't have the juice he used to have. And I feel like when you're playing between the tackles, that's viable. But when you are an outside linebacker in the modern NFL, you're essentially a defensive back. I want Fred Warner. Maybe he's not in the mix as much, but you are now. Right. He has elite mobility skills, always has. And the beauty of him being a middle linebacker is you can take those elite mobility skills and then have them in the mix at all times, and he can chase a lot of stuff down. But I think you have to sacrifice that a little bit in order to maximize the personnel that you have. And I think that might even be the case with Dre Greenlaw coming back. Now, he won't have as much mobility. He was still getting caught out in no man's land a lot. Move him inside.
I like that. I want to have like a critique, but I kind of think that's they should explore that. And Warner's so malleable, you can kind of do anything you want with him and it will work. You know, as long as, again, and I think the biggest thing, and they make it a little bit corny the way they talk about it, is marrying coverage, you know, to the pass rush, and the way they spew it, you're like, yeah. But when you don't do it, like last year when they were like calling it like a blitz on
that,
on
the marriage line was annulled after week two.
Right. It's just you have a defensive line call that has nothing to do with the back end of the coverage, and then you're just
I just call such bullshit on that line. Like, oh, we're going to marry it. And it's like, what are you talking about? You guys run a wide nine.
Right.
There's not a lot of complexity. Or, you know, if you're running a 3-4 and you have a true outside linebacker, then yeah, it makes some sense because you can use your outside linebackers in zone and this and that. You run a defensive front, which is four dudes, hands on the ground, go. You barely even stunt. Like, what the fuck are we talking about? What marriage? Like, what are you talking about? You can play man or zone behind. It doesn't matter. The guy has to get to the quarterback immediately. That's the only goal. Like, there's no... How can you have it both ways to where you can say, well, Nick DeBosa doesn't need to practice because, you know, it's not that complicated. And then also it's extremely complicated. We're trying to marry pass. It's like, no, it's see quarterback, kill quarterback. Like there's really not that much to it. Football is a very difficult, very complex game. I don't know why every area of it needs to every area, it's a lot of false hustle. A lot of guys out here trying to prove like, actually it's really complicated. And it's like, but is it really? Is it? I mean, there's a reason the tight ends coach are the recruiting coordinators in college. It's not that complicated. Not that complicated, the position.
You know, I'll leave that to you.
Just tell it. Quarterback is complicated. The actual coverage aspect is incredibly complicated and difficult.
Yeah. I think it's funny because it's...
Malik Collins' job isn't that difficult.
Right.
I mean, it's hard to do physically.
Yeah. There's some positions that are just very straightforward, and then there's others that are really complicated. But I think, the Niners front, for the most part, is just go murder. And it's also
you run a one-gap wide nine system with no stunts. Like, it couldn't be simpler. Yeah.
It's also why a couple times a year, they'll get in lulls where teams are like, what if we just start throwing screens, and the Niners go,
oh, we didn't think of that. Huh. Shit.
It really does happen. Like, there's usually a 3 or 4 game stretch a year where they just go, they are doing it again. What do we do? And they just get slaughtered by it, and they know it's coming, or they don't know it's coming, which is more concerning.
That always, whenever that happens, last year it was the Minnesota game. And then Cleveland did the same thing.
Yeah.
But it always takes me back to NFL Game Day 98 on the original PlayStation. It's the first football game I ever owned.
Wow.
I had a buddy who was a big Packers fan. I was a Chiefs fan growing up. And I would play as the Chiefs, and I'd be Derek Thomas, and I would just wreck ass with Derek Thomas. And then my buddy, who was a Packers fan, which was a really good thing to be in like the late 90s, because they had Brett Favre and
really good guy, Brett Favre.
Yeah, and Reggie White's dead. there's a lot going on there. Something about Green Bay Packers quarterbacks, I just can't put my finger on it. Regardless, he figured out there was a play where it's just a screen to BB. That was the name of the receiver, BB. And I couldn't stop it. It was like 30 yards every time. And I'm 10 years old, and I'm just trying my damnedest to stop it. I couldn't stop it. And I maintain today, with all I have learned about football in the last 25 years, I probably still couldn't stop it. And every time I see someone get a screenplay for 25 yards, I'm just back in my basement in Oak Park, Illinois, just getting wrecked by BB. And he was ruthless. He would run it every single play, and it would just be like 49-0.
That's what I need to do with Western Kentucky.
Yeah, tell me about the Western Kentucky thing. This is far more important than anything else that's happening.
So many people are aware the NCAA game finally came out. I played it for about 30 minutes, and then it crashed on me. But in that time, I started recruiting. Can't tell if I'm doing well or not.
Got to
simmed two games. Simmed the first one by accident. Second one, I went, I don't know what this recruiting thing is like, so I want to sim, and then I'll play. And then the next game, I started playing defense, getting cooked. Again, I'm playing on Heisman. Yeah. You have to.
Oh, really? But that's a standard
sick, so I'm... Yeah, I probably should change it, but I can't stop anything on defense. I'm running like a 3-3-5 because that's like the only
Carl Pelini 30 stack.
It's not going well. I don't have the personnel to run it. I don't have.
Ironically,
a way to
Western Kentucky was one of the originators of the 30 stack. I was around during the old Conference USA days. It wasn't even Conference USA. That was Sun Belt. So, the 30 stack was a big deal.
But my offense, I got one receiver who I can just fucking launch it to.
Malachi Corley.
We'll see. Basically, Western Kentucky always has like one like sneaky good wide receiver.
Yeah, and then there's Malachi Corley.
Anyway,
we're really excited to see the Nuge. What storyline? And this is a bit of a red herring question. Like, what thing that people are talking about? People, you know, the general vaguity of people. Mm-hmm. What storyline are people talking about that you're just like, that's not interesting and I don't care going into 49ers training camp? Like, what thing is getting totally overhyped?
It's tough because I think the Niners are in a position where they're simultaneously still the most talented team in the NFL, and they're a little boring, which is why, like, the Ayuk thing, because it's just like, oh, yeah, they're really good, but they're a year older, and are they ever really going to do it? It's, I think the most, probably the most boring subject is Brock Purdy a top 10 quarterback?
Yeah, don't
because
care.
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
He's very, very good for what they do, and if he can get a tiny bit better, they got a really good chance to win a Super Bowl. You know,
he can win the MVP if he gets a tiny bit better.
Yeah,
he came in like fourth place last year,
and he didn't have to rehab this entire offseason. So there's like,
yeah,
a pretty good reason yoked. To suggest that he would be better. So that is boring to me.
I saw the receiver.
The weirdest thing I saw, and I didn't really read it, is someone going,
heaven forbid,
Bill Belichick could be a candidate for the Niners coach in 2025. And I went, they're never firing Kyle. Someone said
I got asked about that the other day on a radio hit about.
Because Bill said he wants to come back and coach.
Yeah.
Next year.
I mean, that's cool. Bill got one interview. Got one interview with Atlanta, and then they're like, Raheem Morris, come on down.
Right.
Which, good hire. I like Raheem Morris. But, you know, Bill should spend more time with his 24-year-old girlfriend. That's my official stance on the matter.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Bill on TV is pretty great.
Like, Bill on TV is great. It's a weird Bill's juxtaposition with some of the people he's on TV with. But, you know,
yeah, don't love that. Don't love that squad. But
One day I'm gonna come on the show in just full McAfee cosplay.
Oh,
the whole show
top and just standing
just
up like
black.
With
yeah,
sort
of get the backdrop.
Just this,
yes. Ladies and gentlemen, Dan Orlovsky.
Why? Okay, real quick question: why is every guest moving in their vehicle?
Did you see the Schefter one today where it looked like he was about to run into a tree? They're like, hey, be casual. And then everyone's like, okay. And they just kept pushing the line. No one's told them, hey, maybe be a professional for 5 minutes.
Yeah. Who is...
Everyone's at their car. Okay.
I got one for
you. Meanwhile, I'm on a deck in the middle of nowhere.
Hey, it looks great. It looks great.
Yeah, better lighting than you got, baby.
Genuinely. I'm just sweating here in this sauna of my room. Who is... you're like dark horse, make the roster, or like have an impact that's like not like a high radar player, like a sneaky under the radar guy you're excited about. It could be the Nuge.
I don't think it will be the Nuge. I don't think that they'd make that move. It would have to be something just god awful and horrific from Brendel. I just don't see that happening.
Yeah.
It's a great question, Jake.
Could go Cody Schrader if you want.
Yeah, it's too obvious for me. I mean, Schrader seems like a big win in that regard. And
I'll give you mine, and it will be wrong.
Those are my favorite kind. I don't think he makes the team. I really don't. Jake, we were standing next to each other when he ran that route, and there's some things that you just can't unsee. If we're being honest, it was a tremendous amount of just stepping in mud. Just
listen, man. We're trying to make content here, brother. Come on.
Sorry. I'll give you some content here. How about he's not even on. No, okay. Shackle Brown. Shaquel Brown would be the correct way to pronounce it. I should have more respect. My name is Dieter. Shaquel Brown, defensive tackle, defensive end, kind of a tweener guy, out of Troy. Someone the 49ers really liked first go around with the draft. Tennessee doesn't have any ideological idea of what they're doing, and they just sort of let him go. And listen, it's a position of need for this team. And I'd love to see Evan Anderson do it. I'd like to be wrong about Jordan Elliott. There are a lot of things that could prevent Shaquel Brown from doing it, but these glimpses that I've caught of Shaquel Brown, you go, oh, that looks right. And again, sometimes it doesn't have to be that complicated. A one-on-one drill, dude's got the explosion, dude's got powerful hands, dude's got some decent hips. Like, it,
yep.
Not asking him to be a starter. I'm just asking him to make the goddamn roster. And I think that that's 53 worthy if it extrapolates into game action. And I think they're going to give him a lot of reps to get that opportunity. So after 3 minutes of scouring my brain for the guy who went to Troy, there it is, Shaquelle Brown. And like four mispronunciations. Shaquelle Brown would be my guy going in. But right. We all agree on the Nuge. We all agree
yep.
that we all love the Nuge.
Yeah. I will rescind my Mason Plyne. I'll rescind my Mason Plyne because
yeah.
mostly just the tight end room is so unknown. I think it would be fun if he could do something. And he's got a frame, but it's a work in progress. I think, and going off this one comment, Kalia Davis is mentioned. I think Kalia Davis hasn't proven he can be healthy, but they really liked what they saw out of him in college.
They've kept him around.
I think one of him or Evan Anderson will have to be on this roster as like a gap plugging nose tackle. And if Davis is healthy, I think it'll be him. If Evan Anderson can prove he's can just stand there and hold a gap, that's interesting. So I'll say Evan Anderson.
Let me give you another name here. This is a guy that we were high on last year, Jalen Graham out of Purdue, yeah. a linebacker. I don't think that anybody is beholden to any position other than Fred Warner, middle linebacker. I think weak side and strong side are 100% up for grabs, and that's from number one on the depth chart to number seven on the depth chart. And wouldn't shock me in the least bit. We've seen these flashes from Graham. He's now got a year in. I do think that systematically they're going to be asking for more versatility from their linebackers. Wouldn't shock me at all if Jalen Graham was starting week one. Wouldn't shock me at all. Because Campbell, there's nothing holding them together. There's nothing there.
Yep.
And I like the concept of inverting, going with a false middle linebacker. False Mike. False Mike is what I'm calling it. But kind of a hot mess there. That's maybe that we've already talked about, but like that's kind of a really sneaky storyline for the Niners.
Yeah.
Like linebackers, not ideal. Not ideal. Yeah. Safety and linebacker. The spine of the team is going great. Defensive tackle, linebacker, and safety. You know those areas that you really want to be rock solid at?
A lot of questions. All right. Before we get out of here, let's take a couple comments.
All the way from Nora. Respect Giannis. Jonas?
Hell yeah.
Giannis. Hell yeah. Okay, quick question, guys, all the way from Norway. Is there any chance Brendel or McKivitz lose their jobs based on training camp performances by others? I will answer this, and then, Jake, I want your thoughts on it. I'll say no with Brendel, even though I do think there is a I'll say no to both. How about this? I'll say no to both because with Brendel, I think that there's too much built-up collateral. I think that he'll get the benefit of the doubt all the way to the gates of hell. And that there's not really a need to keep the Nuge on the active roster going to the end of camp. They can practice squad them reasonably, and then they can make that move midway through the season if they want to. So there's no incentive for them to make a decision after a month of practices and three preseason games with Brendel. He's probably earned, I would argue that he's earned, and I know the 49ers would argue that he's earned more respect than that. As for McKivitz, I don't see anyone who's going to take his job. Like, I like Jared Kingston. I think he's good. I there's no world in which I can imagine him being the starting right tackle for this team. They just gave him a new contract. I know people are PO'd about the offensive line. I can understand where they're coming from. I'm not saying it's wrong. Trent Williams is perhaps the most important player in football this year. That's my takeaway on all of this. Williams, if he doesn't, we saw what happened in the Super Bowl, right? He was a shell of himself. He sucked. He sucked by Trent Williams standards and kind of by like regular offensive lineman standards. He was like bad. And the entire 49ers offensive line fell apart. And this is an offensive line that's only average because they have a great, legitimately all-time great left tackle who's not even in the prime of his career, but his prime and heights were so high that the downslope is still better than anybody else. So if, you know, Jake, we've talked about this a million times before, you know, big tree fall hard. And when it goes for big guys, it goes fast. You know, little guys can wiggle their way through. Big guys, there's no maneuvering. It's when it's over, it's over. And right. I don't think that's what happened with Trent Williams, but all of those things that he could sort of get over, right? Those nagging injuries, the stuff that accrues throughout a football season, he's not getting over it as fast. And he's having to take games off because of it. And you get to the Super Bowl and he's just a shell of himself from all of that stuff. And by the way, Kansas City's defensive line too, they deserve some credit. But if they don't have top of the line elite Trent Williams, I mean they're cooked. They're absolutely cooked because I think Brock Purdy's the truth. You love all the skill position players. Yeah. It does not matter. I mean, it does not matter if you don't have the protection.
Trent and Debo went out. They lost three straight in the middle of the year. Like it was in the wide receiver doc. It was like, Debo Samuel went out. It's like also Trent Williams went out. Like
one of those things is more important than the other. Debo's very important. He's not Trent Williams.
Yeah. So, and to answer this question, I don't think either one can lose their job based on training camp unless, like, it's also center. Like, I don't think anyone on the roster can possibly beat out McKivitz in camp. I think someone could show, like, well enough to be, like, to make them think.
That it becomes,
maybe,
like, imminent. Yeah.
Right, to make him think, all right, there's a chance middle of the year, Brendel's not playing well, we have a guy here. But the way they value center and the amount that's put on them to make the calls, to make the checks at the line, they're not giving it to somebody else. They love having a veteran in the system. I think both those guys are locked in.
Agreed. 100%. But, man, it better work.
Yep.
fans are just teed off, and I can't blame them at all, man. It better work. That makes 71 the most important guy on the team. And when do you think we'll even see 71? Will he just be there? Will he even show up? Or will he like have like a solidarity with Brandon Ayuk? We just don't see him. Yeah, he'll just hang out.
Yeah, I mean,
his external, if you were to just take him on like how he acts or like how he is treated in a locker room, you would think he's the biggest diva ever, but he's just like a big teddy bear. He's like such a sweetheart. I really like Trent.
He's probably my favorite person to talk to.
He's like
to
the best dude.
On the 49ers.
But like he's two awesome. Lockers, never practices, just like the amount of.
Right. But it's not like.
Literally has a carpet.
Right. And everyone's like, yeah, he should. Like he needs it. Like he must have it. And we're all like, I agree. But
when does this shit start up, Jake?
When does all this shit start up?
Yeah, when do they show up?
Yeah, so we got John and Kyle tomorrow. Get to go down, ask some questions about Ayuk, get nothing, and then go, okay, so how was your summer? Did you guys read anything good or
The Alchemist
mustache? No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Can we do a quick media odds on who's gonna ask about the mustache at Christian McCaffrey's wedding?
Oh, it might be me. But not
I would have had you as plus odds.
But not during the course of sort of like
Someone's doing it during.
Yeah.
In fact, let's just do vaguely. Let's just set a line right now. Do you even think 50-50? Or is it such a certainty? It's a certainty in my mind. I'll give you the plus on it.
I think it's
like -190. Someone asks.
I'm gonna let it ride. And if we got a lull at the end, I think it's
You're
my journalistic. Someone has to ask about it. You know.
Because you think it will be shaved.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's another whole other bet. Is Kyle show up with the mustache tomorrow?
I don't think so.
These are the real questions that we answer.
These are the real questions.
I have like 1 minute of battery left. So what else do we need to get?
Great.
In?
I think that's it. I think we're gonna start ripping at training camp. And
yeah. Well, Jake
I'll be down there.
I'm still at the beach.
I'll give some reports. And then we won't learn much until pads come on. But then
that's right.
It'll be glorious.
And even then, we won't know anything until Dieter and Brandon Ayuk show up hand in hand.
It'll be good.
As his new representative.
But we're back, folks. Even if it doesn't feel like we're back, we're back.
We're very much not back in spirit, but back in practice. And
exactly.
You know, we'll all get into it. Appreciate y'all joining us. And, enjoy whatever's left of whatever summer was.
Damn right. Enjoy it,
Jake,
folks.
End this thing.